The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark chapter 1, and beginning at verse 14. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A few questions for you this morning. Hearing me okay? Yep. Why is it that so many fine, wonderful people who already believe in God and accept Jesus as their Saviour think that God doesn't want to speak to them personally now? Why? I think for a lot of us, part of the answer might be that we don't hear and we don't expect that God summoning us like he did with Andrew and Simon and others. Last Sunday, you might not have read it here, but the Old Testament reading was about the calling of Samuel. You know the boy Samuel? Yeah? Think about him for a minute. He was a special gift from God to his mother Hannah. He was dedicated to the Lord by her upon his birth and sent, while still very young, to live with the priest Eli at Shiloh. The scripture says that this was a time in which the word of the Lord was rare. In other words, not much in the way of prophecies or visions or anything, and people were not used to them. Samuel lived in a holy place and in a holy presence. And even as a lad, he wore the linen ephod and ministered in the house of God. Samuel then, when you think about it, surely of all people growing up, should have been able to recognize the call of God. But he couldn't. Well, at least not at first. And, important point, not without Eli's help. Three times the Lord called Samuel when he was lying in his bed. Three times he answered saying, "Here I am," and ran out to see Eli in the next room. But on the third occasion, if you remember the story, the penny dropped with Eli, and he thought, Samuel may be hearing God's voice. And he gave him instructions, and you know the rest of the story. He did hear, he did listen, and he did act. And so finally Samuel heard what God wanted him to say and what he was to speak of the word to others. Now, I think there are some parallels for us in this story about Samuel. We too worship regularly in this house of God, do we not? We hear the word of God read, do we not? Many of us serve God here and outside this congregation, do we not? Well, do we? Thank you. Also last week we heard of Jesus calling Philip, who in turn reached out to Nathanael, right? Today we heard Jesus calling Simon and Andrew and the Zebedee boys. So, with Philip, Nathanael, Simon and the Zebedee lads, their response was an immediate yes. Mind you, in the other story, Nathanael took a little bit of persuasion, but then so do some of us, yeah? I wonder how God has spoken to us. Rhetorical question. But we think that the voice we hear in the night, if we hear one, is maybe something else. Well, the dream that we dream is maybe the mushrooms that we had last night with the stew. Or we think that it's the result of eating the wrong kind of food before bedtime, whatever it might be, or that our unconscious mind is playing tricks on us. All of the above, perhaps. God can call people in different ways, and that's the trap. Most often they are gentle calls, often very subtle calls. Almost all of them could be mistaken for something else. That is, until we respond like Samuel and the others did, and I put it to you that only then do we discover the power that's in the voice that's doing the calling. What power there must have been in that personal call that they all received in today's gospel. I mean, the Zebedee boys just dumped everything where it was and trotted off with Jesus. We're not told what his dad thought about that. It's obvious, I think, that Nathanael was a man versed in Scripture, a man who was used to prayer and meditation and always looking for the Messiah, because if you remember, that's what the words of Jesus meant when he said, "I saw you under the fig tree." Obviously, Nathanael wasn't any emotional pushover. He wasn't any, "Hallelujah, brother, yeah, I'm giving my soul to the Lord today, and then tomorrow something different." Nathanael was very measured and very careful and very questioning, and took some convincing, as we know, for Jesus to open his eyes. So, brothers and sisters, I have a question for you. A couple more to come after this, actually. Do you listen to fellow believers? Do you check out whether God is speaking to you through them? Now, I'm not talking about the person who comes up, and we've all had this kind of person. Steve, you're a guinea pig.
God has told me, Steve, to tell you
that we should have more old hymns. I'm not so sure that that's a message from God when it's delivered like that. We've all had that, Steve, haven't we? Now stop me if I praise you guys too much by what I'm going to say next, okay? If I lay it on too thick, I want you to start saying, "No, no, enough, enough," right? You got it? When I look around on Sunday morning, I see faithful people. People who are genuinely struggling to do what is right. People who worship and pray. People who listen to the holy stories. And who earnestly seek to obey the will of the Lord for them. Is that a fair comment? Yeah? Does that sit okay with you guys? You and I are, in our own way, like Samuel and Philip and Nathanael and Simon and the brother Zebedee, we're people who are trying to follow God's commandments one way or another. But I wonder, how many of us believe that God has ever spoken to us in some way? Do you believe that God has personally called you by name, like Glenda was talking about before? Well, the news is he is calling. The big question is, are we listening? Right? Are we listening? God's got an individually tailored plan for you and me, but maybe we don't know about it yet. Or we're not sure about it. Maybe Maybe we've chosen not to listen. For some of us, some of the concept might be a little bit close to the bone because it's getting personal, very personal. And we're going to find all sorts of excuses. Gosh, here's one that Steve and I have never heard before. I can't do that role because I'm really not worthy. I'm really not worthy. So therefore, I can't do this role or that role or this ministry or that ministry. I simply could not do anything like that. Oh, you ready for the next question? Because I'm going to ask now about unworthiness. I want you to listen very carefully. What is it, do you think, that Jesus did on that cross of Calvary if it wasn't to make us worthy? Tell me, if it wasn't that, what was it? Did he not die for all our sins and wipe them away? Yeah? Well, did he? So, are we made worthy by what he did? Well, right. So, brothers and sisters, you have irrefutable, undeniable, unquestionable proof in Scripture, if you like, that you've been made worthy by Jesus himself for any task that's required to be done in any congregation. Think about it. Grab hold of it, because it's fundamental to our faith. So please, for Steve's sake and mine, never use that excuse again for not answering the call of God to do something. You see, God does seek us out, and he does call us by name somehow, just as he called Samuel and Philip and Nathaniel and Simon and Andrew and the brothers Zebedee. He can speak to us in our dreams. He can, and he does. He can speak to us through the voice of our friends. He can, and he does. Fellow parishioners, he does that. And others who may be trying to help his family. Do you believe he can even call us through our spouses? Oh, hardest one to hear. We might need to pause long enough to read his word or to meditate to be able to hear. He often speaks when we're trying to decide what to do next, if we ask him. We might hear him when we gaze at the stars at night or watch the surf breaking out on the beach. He even speaks to us as we pray, which incidentally is why our prayer time here at Sunday worship even should include a time of silence for us to listen expectantly to what God might be saying to our mind and our heart. There must be heaps of people who pray very earnestly but without ever considering how God might answer. For some of us, our prayer time with God can consist of mostly telling God what's wrong with everything. The world, our boss, the government, the church. You know, one of the strangest aspects of our prayer life can be that we insist on telling God about stuff that he must already know. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knows all about what's wrong with every church and every parish everywhere. You don't need to tell him again. What you need to pray about is the wisdom and the will and the ability to do your part in playing something about it. God's purpose in speaking to us is to empower our lives so that we can, in turn, be a part of transforming this miserable world that we live in at the moment, trying to make it holy and good where the full fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace can abound, which I think I can safely say at this moment is not happening. I've got another little question. What might have been the result if Simon didn't go and speak to Nathanael? Sorry, Philip hadn't gone to Nathanael or Simon and Andrew. At the very least, there would have been two less disciples. There would have been a lot bigger difference than that too. Friends, we need to be listening for God's call wherever we are, in whatever we see and hear, even in the sermons and messages we hear in this Anglican workshop. Surprise, surprise. Or maybe in the words of a friend or fellow parishioner who shares with you, me, how they have heard God. Sometimes, even unknowingly, we may have a message for them. Think about it. So are you a little skeptical? Are you like Nathanael asking, can anything good come out of Kawana? Can anything good come out of HTK? Can anything good come out of me? The answer is yes. Yes, it has done already. It will continue to happen in and through the lives of people like you and me, sharing our faith with others and listening to what God might be saying as part of the conversation. A little prayer. Dear Lord, help us to listen. Help us to recognize your voice. Help us to discover your personal word for us, your expectation of us, and your personal will for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, we should spend a moment or two right now, this instant, quietly listening to see what God wants to say now to you or to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.